to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Puck Guys Podcast, doing our 31-30 Central Division's well underway. Nashville yesterday, Winnipeg Jets on tap today. What's up, dudes?
How's it going?
No Cowboys today. Jason's all cowboyed out.
Yeah. It's a wore out from last night.
Well, I think you did the cowboy thing yesterday because of it was Nashville last
night. No, he did the cowboy thing because I said like four shows ago that it was weird. And now it's just.
It annoys Eddie. So I do things that annoy people.
Well, it's because when he says howdy, it's like it's not masculine sounding. It's like effeminate.
Well, there's like a pause, like, too. It's like howdy. It's like, you'll be like, how are you guys doing? And then it'll be like nobody will say anything. It'll be just be like howdy. And then.
Most things I do are feminine. You should hear me pee.
Always sitting down. The Winnipeg Jets boys finished 52-20 and 10, 110 points, lost in the Western Conference Finals.
114 points.
Versus the Knights.
114 points.
114 points.
Do math.
So, there you go, my bad. But they lost to the Knights in five games after a really strong showing in the season or the series before against the Nashville Predators. They had a pretty good amount of roster turnover, I feel like. They keep all the stars for the most part. I don't really see anyone leaving that you want to consider Steve Mason a star. I don't know. I mean, the only name I noticed that pops up in the additions, just because I'm a Ducks fan, is Nick Cordeles left the San Diego Gulls, essentially, and the Ducks ended up getting chased to Leo. But Paul Stastny was actually the other big star that left Winnipeg here, and they didn't. I don't know. I don't know if that's really going to be that huge of a loss for them. I still think this team's incredibly strong, starting from the net out. Connor Hellebuck's going to be a beast. Eddie, how do you feel about maybe the small turnover? Do you think they improved a little bit with some tinkering? Did they lose out on Paul Stastny? How do you feel?
I think losing out on Paul Stastny is pretty big. But they didn't acquire from outside the organization as much as they promoted guys from within. So Jack Roslovic is probably going to come in at third-line center, and they're going to bump Brian Little up to second-line center. And they have a lot of faith in what Roslovic can bring to their team. He was a great player for them in Manitoba in the AHL last year. And then Christian Vesalainen, who they drafted in 2016, is a guy who's projected to make the team as well and probably play on that third line with Roslovic. So they're kind of promoting from within to replace what they lost in Paul Stastny, and they really couldn't afford to pay him what Vegas paid him anyway. When you look at the guys they had to re-sign, I mean, they had to re-sign Wheeler, they had to re-sign Morrissey, Trouba got a new contract, so there's a lot of guys, Hellebuck as well, so they couldn't do too much to keep him around, and I think they knew they had guys in their system to replace him, so it won't be a huge loss for them.
Yeah, to the point with Stastny, and they also got to look ahead at what's going to be happening after this season as well. And you got a little guy, you guys probably haven't heard of him, but it's Patrick Laine.
Oh, Jesus.
Laine ends up being a guy that's going to need a huge, huge, huge contract. And at this point, they're sitting with about $7 million in extra cap space. They will have a few people that will probably come off, especially on the defensive side of things, like a Tyler Myers, $5 million, I believe, or so comes off the book. So they need that extra space, and Stastny just wasn't really going to work within what they had. And they only got him kind of for that playoff push anyways. And it almost worked out, but they ran into the juggernaut of Vegas. So the only thing I have kind of a concern for moving forward with this Winnipeg team as far as this upcoming season goes, a lot of their players had really high shooting percentage, and I'm talking like they were almost clicking into the 20 percentile range on a lot of these guys. So for example, where was it, shooting percentage, I lost it, 18.3% for Patrick Laine. Obviously he can make a home in that one spot and not miss too many, but Shifley was also in the 18 percentile, and for the most part 10 is usually kind of what guys usually hit around. So for them to kind of reproduce that might be a little bit too much to ask. And I'm not as confident as you are, Pat, as far as Hellebuck goes. Last season with Mason in there, Mason was the go-to guy because they just weren't quite sure what they were going to get with Hellebuck yet. They weren't quite sure if he was going to make that leap that they were expecting. Obviously he did, which is great. But now you know, he's the guy. There's nothing really behind him that's going to bail him out if there is a little bit of a falter. And you also got to think this entire team has gone the longest playoff run in franchise history. Even if they went to game five in round one, that's the longest they've ever gone into the playoffs. So the fact that they went all the way to the conference finals, you always got to kind of wonder. They kind of, in my opinion, surprised a lot of people, was the second highest point total getter as far as teams go in the NHL. And, you know, all those expectations are now there and teams are a little bit more well prepared for them. I don't think they're going to maybe surprise as much, but it's still a formidable team, a good team. But there's just a lot of question marks for me. I just want to see how they're going to replicate what they did last season.
What is sick could be said about John Gibson in Anaheim, though, when you're talking about Connor Hellebuck? I mean, Connor Hellebuck lost 11 games in regulation. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty damn good record.
For sure.
And then not to mention he's almost at like a 925 save percentage. He had a hell of a season. And looking even into his playoff numbers, I don't see any concern there if I'm a Jets fan. I mean, a 922 in the playoffs and you lose in the Western Conference final to basically a team of destiny until they hit Ovi. It's just kind of hard for me to look at the Jets and see them making any sort of move down the standings. I don't know. Mark Scheifele, excellent player. He had 14 goals in the playoffs last season, too. He's coming into his own. I think he's still got more to give. I'm not worried about this team at all. I mean, maybe you look at their defense a little bit, but they got Trouba on a one-year deal. They're going to have to deal with that headache next summer because he's obviously going to earn more and want to go elsewhere unless they offer him some term. But yeah, this is my team for the Central Division. I don't see any holes in their game for this year.
Yeah, and it's tough to look at the goalie and say, what if? Because like you said, you can look at a lot of goalies and say that John Gibson is one you can look at and say, well, what is he going to be able to do that again? Vasilevsky is another young goalie that, you know, can he have another great season like he did last year? So I'm not too worried about it. I mean, maybe playing as many games as Hellebuck did last year, and it's a lot to expect him to do it again, but I think they've, you know, kind of bought in on it. He's a little bit older than those guys as well. He'll be 25 going into the season. So I think, you know, he's been around long enough that he should be able to have a good season this year. He's got a very good defense in front of him as well as a lot of offensive support. So I think it will be good for him. I'm just interested to see how this team does with their depth scoring. Because of losing a guy like Stastny, you're forced to bring Brian Little up in the lineup. And like I said earlier, you've got Roslovich and Vesalainen who are now injected into this lineup. This team has done a very great job building their team with first-round picks when you look at the fact that everybody in their top nine, except Perreault and Wheeler, were guys that they drafted in the first round. So they've done a very good job. It's just kind of put all those pieces together and seeing if it's going to work. They've got a lot of talent, but it's going to be really close between them and Nashville.
Yeah, what do you guys think about the Trouba situation? The fact they went to arbitration, it was only 1 year that they got, and you know after this year, he's probably going to need you know at least a little bit more of a bump in pay. I mean, 5.5 is pretty good, but I mean he's kind of that guy that they're looking to bring up as their guy for quite a while after this. But then they don't really necessarily have a whole lot of that cap room when you start considering Laine is going to need about $10 million more than what he's making right now.
I'm concerned if I'm the Jets looking at Jacob Trouba. I mean, he had a 2-year deal prior to this. There's what's going on here? I mean, that's a pretty short deal. Then to come to arbitration, only get a 1-year deal out of it. I'm concerned. I don't know what it is where he can't get something done. Maybe he doesn't like playing in Winnipeg, and maybe he doesn't want to be where there's no internet, according to the Sharks, where it's always dark and freezing, and maybe he doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants to go back to a much warmer climate. Maybe there's a bigger city that's going to want to have him. He's a great player, though. He's making a good amount of money. I don't see what's going on there, but that's a little concerning. You know, you're looking at a 2-year deal, now a 1-year deal. I don't know if they're going to be able to retain him next year. That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, he's the big piece of their future on the blue line. Once Dustin Byfuglien's gone, it's really going to be him and Morrissey, because I don't know if they can really afford to bring back him and Tyler Myers next year. It's going to be one of them. I don't think they can keep both. I think Trouba's the guy they would like to keep. He's the easier option because he is going to be an RFA, and Myers is going to be an unrestricted free agent, so they've got a lot more options to work with Jacob Trouba than they do with Tyler Myers. So It's interesting because after Laine and Trouba, that's it. They're locked down for a considerable amount of time. You know, the next big signing, I guess you could say, it all depends on how Roslovich does, is that they have to sign him, and then they have to sign Kyle Connor in 2019. But yeah, it really comes down to how much is Line A going to get, and that really factors in to how much money you can give Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, so do you, that's the other question mark I kind of have. Like, I like this team on paper. Everything looks fine, but there's a lot of question marks that I just don't quite know how it's going to pan out. Yes, they'll be doing just as well, if not possibly better than Nashville. But one of those other question marks is Trouba. If they don't feel that they're going to get what they want, do you think he's a possible trade target? Or are they more likely, like you said, Eddie, to trade Tyler Myers if they might lose him as an unrestricted free agent?
I think where this team is, they don't really have anybody they can call up to replace him unless somebody's doing really well in the AHL. And it's not like, you know, Kulikov or Ben Chiarot can jump up and replace what Tyler Myers has. You know, we know this team's going to be competitive. I think losing Tyler Myers for nothing is tough, but he's a guy you're going to need to make a long push and go for a Stanley Cup. You know, on any other team, if they were struggling at this point, I would assume maybe they could move him, but I just don't think you can. And you know, maybe you hold on to him, and then when the offseason comes around, you explore the possibility of moving Jacob Trouba's rights, because then at least you could get something and keeping Tyler Myers. So they have options, but there is a chance that Tyler Myers could leave for nothing, because there's no way this team is bad enough at the deadline that they're going to have to be forced to move him.
I'm a little worried about the defense, though. You talk about Tyler Myers. He's not an elite defenseman. He's an okay defenseman. And that's maybe the only question mark I see. And it's a barely one. I think their defense is okay. It's not amazing. Which is crazy. I mean, it's crazy that we're at that point where we're talking about teams have to have like this generational talent, you know, in each facet of the game from the net out. You have to have one guy that's like this amazing player. But I don't feel like you do, because I think Nashville doesn't have that amazing player in every position. They have great defense, and then they have a pretty good offense. They're not amazing. It does help that your defense is kicking out, you know, hundreds of points a season. But looking at Winnipeg, I just feel that their offense is going to be able to carry him enough. But you guys are right, though, on the cap side of things. I mean, I got to say, Blake Wheeler is making a shit ton of money, and he's going to be carrying that. He's already 32, and he's got an 8.25 cap hit starting after this season for five more years. That's a giant, I mean, in my opinion, overpayment. Term wise, I think if you're going to give him a short deal, Brian Little too, making a lot of money for six more years. They have questions coming up, but we're talking about this season. Connor Hellebuck, for me, is the second best goalie in the West, and their offense is good enough. I feel like they're dangerous and fast. I have them finishing first in the Central Division.
Yeah, I think so. And when it comes to cap, there's always a chance that a guy they could try and move out, maybe even retain a little bit of salary on, is Matthew Perreault. Because I think out of everybody who's making money on this team, he's a guy who's not going to make the top six, and he's making over $4 million for the next couple of years. So I think there's a chance that even if they're doing well, you kind of try and move him out and just slot in somebody else on that line and get similar production. Even if it's a little bit of a drop off, you save that money then, and you don't have to worry about, you know, having to make room, maybe moving Trouba or moving Myers to make room for Line A and Kyle O'Connor's contracts. But yeah, I do have them finishing first. I think the forward depth they have up front is a little bit better than what Nashville has. Not a lot better, but a little bit better. The defense is a little bit of a struggle there, so they're very, very close. I just think Winnipeg's going to edge them by a couple points.
Yeah, for the same reasons, I think that they're very, very close, and there's just, for me, more question marks on how is this team going to react. I'm always wary when a team does surprisingly well, or players do surprisingly well in their first year, such as Connor, how they're going to go the next season, or this is the first time any of these guys have gone this far in the playoffs, how are they going to react? Those question marks just give me a slight edge more towards Nashville, because I know what I'm getting with Nashville for the most part, and I just not quite sold 100% on Winnipeg, but I could be totally wrong, and these guys are going to be within points of each other just like they were last year. I have them still finishing second, just behind Nashville, because I think Nashville's more in that desperation, let's get this done now, and I feel that they can just edge them out.
So three questions for you guys then.
Ooh.
Does Blake Wheeler have the same season or better that he did last year? He finished last season 81 games played, 23 goals, 68 assists for 91 points. Is he going to be able to reproduce that?
Is he feeding Line A on the power play? As long as he's doing that, he'll be just fine. 68 assists, 91 points, and I think 40 of those points were on the power play. So I think his point production is going to be heavily dependent on how hard Line A decides he wants to shoot the puck.
Yeah, and when he's on the line distributing to Scheifele and Kyle O'Connor, just 5-on-5, I think it's safe to say he get close to that. 91 is a tough order. But and same with 68 assists for a guy who you really don't consider one of the elite playmakers in the game. He was up near the top, if not leading the way, I think, last year. So I think he gets above 80. 91 is a big stretch. He's going to have to pretty much replicate exactly what he did last year, get a lot of power play time. The power play is going to have to be good. But there's no question in my mind that he gets above 80, especially with who he's playing with.
Now, does Laine finally hit 50 goals?
Not many guys hit 50 now.
That's tough.
Yeah, I don't think so. And he'll get all the opportunity in the world, but he had that last year as well. Now, he only played an average of 16.5 minutes a game, which when you look at what Scheifele and Wheeler played over 20, that was about average for the rest of the guys in the top six. If his ice time goes up a little bit, if he's playing 17, 18 minutes a night, and if he's for sure getting on that top power play unit in the Ovechkin spot, as it's deemed, there's a chance. But things are going to have to go really, really well for him, because 50 is hard for anybody to hit nowadays.
Yeah, and like you said, I looked at the time on ice average that he had, and I was a little thrown back that it was actually more at 16. I thought he'd be more a little bit 18. But as he's going into a contract year, that tends to happen. Not like he has to really have much to prove. Putting out 44 goals last year, quite an accomplishment for a second year guy. But this guy wants to score. He wants to win. He loves Ovechkin. So, I mean, this is a guy that's probably, other as far as a personal goal goes. I think that's his next step, is try and get 50. If he stays healthy and he gets maybe a little bit more playing time. So assume he gets maybe like one more minute. That's 80 more minutes over the course of the whole season, that he could put in another six goals, I think is quite possible. So I think there's that chance, and I'm just going to go say, yeah, I think he gets 50.
Yeah, I think he does too. I think he's really going to push, and this is going to be the year where he's able to grab that. Final question for you guys concerning this team. How confident are you guys in Connor Hellebuyck? Like, for he was not the guy they thought he was going to be 2 years ago. Last season puts up really, really good numbers in the Vezina conversation. Everyone team seems to forget about, and I know we sound like homers, seem to forget about John Gibson in the mix. Everyone starts talking about this other American kid who's performing the hell out of the season with Hellebuyck playing great. Goes to the playoffs, still plays great, just doesn't get to the final. And that's a team deal, not just on him. I think he had a great playoffs. But you guys think it's going to be more of the same from last year? Think he's going to put up these crazy numbers?
Yeah, I think, what's different when I look at some other goalies who have, good years out of nowhere, is that they didn't change anything, and the team in front of them changed a bit, and they just got, not to say lucky, but they just had a better year than they should have. With Hellebuyck, the thing is, coming into last season, he changed up his entire routine in the offseason. He worked with a different guy, and he really changed up the way he played, and obviously it showed this year with the great season that he had. So I'm not as worried about him as I would be about other goalies, because I feel like, it is a small sample size. We really don't know, and you look at his struggles in the past, but it seems like he's really changed his game. And if he's done that, you would expect him to probably have a similar season that he did this last year.
Yeah, as far, me being a goalie, the one thing I always try and look at is, if a goalie's having a good season, what is their positioning? Are they scrambling? Are they just getting lucky and they're making the highlight reel, and that's what you see, and you notice a little bit more? He's far more in control than he has been in the past. It's a different goalie than just the season prior. So, I mean, this last season was a real kind of awakening for him. He realized, literally they're bringing in Steve Mason to be the starter. I've got to fight Steve Mason for my job. At that point, I think it might have been a little bit of a wake-up call, or he was ready for a change, or whatever it was. He is great technically as a goalie, so I don't expect much of that to change, but you can still be good technically. And once you kind of have that breakout season, teams start to pick you apart as far as they do the video research, and these coaching staff, if they're good at what they do, prepare their players on where to shoot and how to play against a goalie. So it's once again, it's a little bit of a question mark. It's not that, because it's not like I felt he got lucky. I felt he was good. He is good. He's a good goalie. Will be forever. Him and Gibson will probably be forever tied in their careers, as you know, because they're about the same age. They're both American goalies. They're the next wave that's kind of coming out. So I think he'll still be very, very good, but I just want to see if he ends up maybe changing things. Now he might have that expectation of, all right, I'm the guy, and everything
worked
out. You're
talking about the contract, because he got that giant contract,
too? He got the giant contract, and that's them saying, all right, you're our guy now. So there's that, but it's also the last, like, as a goalie, if my last season was great, and I was like, man, I'm doing everything right, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, and I don't change up much of what I've done because it was so successful, and then people start picking your little tendencies apart and the chinks in the armor that you didn't realize were there because everyone was a little bit more surprised at how you were playing, that next season you can maybe get picked apart a little bit more and it's not quite as strong of a season. Not saying that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. Matt Murray was great for two seasons and then kind of got picked apart a little bit last season, and I think he's a great technical goalie as well. So it does happen. It's a cat and mouse game between coaching staffs, shooters, and goalies. So it'll be interesting. I don't think it's much of a concern. They're not going to go with any, they're not going to get anybody better.
Who's the backup goalie in Winnipeg right now?
It's Laurent Brossoit, they got from Edmonton.
Yeah, so he's nothing. There is no backup anymore. It is just the Hellebuck Show.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's, I like that. That's got a good name for a show, right?
Hellebuck Show. Right, I guess it could be. Yeah, so you guys all, Eddie and I have been finishing first, have been finishing second. That's, yeah, you're kind of just like fumbling between points there. A couple of wins here, a couple of losses there. Yep. Is going to decide how this, you know, top end of the division finishes out. But there you guys have it. That is our Winnipeg Jets show for the 31-30. You know where to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. Also, check us out on Patreon if you want to hear more of us talking. We have four bonus shows. We got some cool content, other little perks we're throwing in there. You go check us out at patreon.com/puckguys. I think it's Puck Guys Forever. I'm going to screw this up.
Puck Guys Forever Mighty.
Yeah. So that's where you can find us. Patreon.com, Puck Guys Forever Mighty. Every little bit helps. All the money goes back into the show. We want to be able to do more, get better equipment, do better video. We would also like to be able to host more watch parties and put more perks into the tiers to give you guys. So we appreciate all the support, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with the Minnesota Wild. Bye, guys.